Welcome to Ham's Radio, Ham Radio talk show by Ham Radio enthusiasts.
皆さんこんばんは。ハムのラジオの時間です。ハムのラジオはアマチュア無線化によるアマチュア無線の番組です。今日の相手は JR3QFB39 と、
はい、JR2KHB 須田と、
はい、JG1ITH リオと、
はい、JA1WTO 吉原です。よろしくお願いします。
よろしくお願いします。
今日の話題ですけれども、ハムの社会貢献、ハワイの非常通信体制ということでお送りいたします。それでは最後までお付き合いください。
この番組はきっと人生はもっと楽しい無線従事者免許のアドバイザー QCQ 企画の提供でお送りします。
はい、まずヨタジャパンからのお知らせです。はい、須田さんお願いします。はい、
ヨタジャパン2022年で5年目の年になったわけですけれども、この春から新しいステップに踏み出します。この3月1日付で、ヨタジャパンの法人化ということになりまして、一般社団法人ヤングスターズオンジェアジャパンを設立いたしました。
おめでとうございます。
ありがとうございます。
もう皆様のお力添えのおかげでございますので、ま、改めて御礼を申し上げます。で、これに合わせてですね、会員制度と委員会制度というのをちょっとスタートして、活動の主体としての若者ということで明確化していこうということに、はい、なっております。詳しくはヨタジャパンのウェブサイトや関連のコンテンツをいろいろご覧いただければと思います。これからもヨタジャパンのことをどうぞよろしくお願いいたします。
はい、どうもよろしくお願いいたします。次の話題ですけれども、最近小さい地震が結構いろんなところでね、
起きてますね。
起きてますよね。で、まあ、そういう意味でやっぱり、まあ、大きい、ちょっと大きい地震はやっぱりそういう、ね、影響がね、あちらこちらでね出てきてるみたいなんでね、はい、まあ、ちょっと、防災意識、
そうです ね、皆さん備えましょう。
そうですね、
はい、こう地震が多いときは大きい地震が起きますのでね、はい、
そうなんですよね、はい、まあ、ちょっとちっちゃいとことがね、集まるとたまにその大きいのが出てくる
という、はい、そういうことですね、
ありますんで、はい、ちょっと気をつけましょうということで、はい、今日の話題ですけれども、ハムの社会貢献、ハワイの非常通信体制ということでお送りいたします。それでは最後までお付き合いください。
無線従事者免許のアドバイザー QCQ 企画では、アマチュア無線技師と陸上特殊無線技師の養成家庭講習会を本州全域と九州エリアにて実施しています。専任の講師が懇切丁寧に講義を行いますので、どなたでも安心して講義に挑んでいただけます。皆様のお近くで開催される講習会をご確認いただき、ぜひ受講をご検討ください。詳しくはウェブで QCQ で検索。
はい、アマチュア無線の社会貢献への活用がね、明確化されまして、皆さん社会貢献について考えていると思います。今回はアメリカのハワイでのアマチュア無線の非常通信について、どのような活動を行われているのか、現在は日本でお仕事をされている JJ1PJI ケビン・ミラーさんにね、お話をお伺いしましたのでね、お送りしたいと思います。はい、聞き手は JJYTH リオさん、
はい、
から同時通訳須田さんが来られましたのでね、はい、お聞きいただきたいと思います。
はい、今日はですね、アメリカの、非常通信システムについて、お話を伺いたいということでゲストをお招きしております。ケビン・ミラーさんお越しいただいていますので、まず自己紹介をしていただきたいと思います。Would you make a self introduction for by yourself?
Thank you very much, Rio-san. Yes, my name is Kevin Miller. I am from Honolulu, Hawaii. I have been living in Japan for a while now. I have an American general license, and I have a reciprocal license in Japan. And my Japanese call sign is JJ1.PJI.
Okay, thank you very much for your introduction. And today, I would like to interview him to hear the emergency communication system for ham radio. And my question, first question is some of the relationship of the government and the ham radio. What the government education is for the ham radio? In order to cooperate for the emergency communication. Do you have some idea where?
Yeah, in Hawaii, you know, it's we have seven main islands, and I'll talk about on the island of Oahu, where Honolulu is located. It's the state of Hawaii, but locally it is the city and county of Honolulu, and they have a city and county department of emergency management. And they coordinate emergency responses when it comes to the disasters, and amateur radio plays a backup role right now, a backup role within that organization. And there are several, I think at least three, if not four, amateurs who are credentialed, certified, and authorized to access the EOC. And I believe the EOC is Emergency Operations Command. I believe that's the name of what it stands for. It could be center. And these amateur radio operators are trained, and like I said, they're certified, and they are authorized to work with the city and local government. They work with the fire department in the EOC. They work with the police department. They could work with the hospitals. They could work with civil defense. They could work with the military, army, navy. And there's a lot of people in the in this emergency management room that come together during an officially emergency. And hams play a backup role when communications fail. I mean, right now you have satellite communications, you have trunked systems, you have the P25 system in the U.S. that coordinates anything from lifeguards, ambulances, fire departments. They can all share in the communications. This is something that came out of 9/11, where communication methods are standardized and departments can interface with one another. That being said, if those systems have failed, now it could be due to heavy winds, a flood, a tsunami, other factors, including even the cyber, the big now is a cyber attack that might, you know, cyber would be probably one of the things that could knock out or is of concern for satellite phones. So amateur radios and amateur radio operators with proper training and could interface with these government entities to provide backup communications.
Oh, I see. So the my understanding is that there's so many systems, governmental systems. Then the military has, and the government has, and the fire department has, and the other system called the EDC, emergency, and the department.
Department of Emergency Management is kind of the local government, and then they have a EOC, which is a big room, and it's usually underground, well protected, and it has radio lines, computer lines, communication lines, and each entity has its own desk or station.
Oh, I see.
So it would be to, you know, on the right of you, it could be the Coast Guard. On the left of you, it could be the police department. Ambulance company. So they're all working together and coordinated.
Oh, I see. So in the case of normal disaster, how to recognize the normal? But almost all the governmental system covers all the communication in case of the Hawaii states, right? And the amateur radio system is a final backup or a safety net of the communication of the emergency communication. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the way I think it's being treated right now. But because of all, you know, technology has increased, you know, everybody has a cell phone, and everybody thinks that that technology is just going to work.
Yeah, exactly.
And even some of the hardened systems, And when I say hardened, against cyber or against natural disasters, that's tsunami, those systems can go down. And when they do go down, you need a point-to-point system or a different system that might work for until the other systems come back online.
Oh, I see. Okay, I understand the current system cooperated with the government. And then next, and there's so many kinds of the methods of communications, like Morse, over the phone, or digital communication. What is it already used for amateur radio, ham radio, emergency communication in the States?
I think, of course, voice phone is going to be is the method that everybody knows. The method that is really gaining a lot of popularity is called VARA, and it's a VARA with WinLink,
right?
And basically, it's a packet. It's similar to the old style packet.
Right.
Where you would do you would do radio computer communications over radio.
Yeah.
It's just a little more efficient, and during noisy conditions, it might be able to get through a little bit better than than traditional packet. And it's faster, and it's just really become popular with amateur radio operators in these positions trying to support their local governments. And as far as faxes go, I think I think there's probably a fax machine around, but I don't think anybody's really using it.
Oh, I see.
But there are computers, and of course, the challenge is always keeping those up to date.
Oh, I see.
And keeping those systems up to date. And it's very easy to use voice when people share the same language.
Oh, I see.
And the same knowledge. So if you know where something is located, you can say, you know, at, let's say, for example, the hotel name, let's say the Waikiki Beach Hotel. You know, we have six people that need to be transported from Waikiki Beach Hotel. Okay, everybody knows Waikiki Beach Hotel. In that method, regular phone communications, probably VHF or UHF, possibly with a repeater system, but more likely probably simplex if the government systems are down. But when you are supporting a hospital and you need to transfer information regarding medications, for example, antibiotics. The Japanese word is kosei butsu, right? Antibiotics, right? And each antibiotic has its unique name. And so if a hospital needs certain kinds of medication, the person on the radio may not be able to pronounce that. And some of those medications possibly sound very similar. And so by using a digital mode, like VARA, using WinLink, you're able to transfer that information very efficiently.
I see. Okay, the reason why I ask you is the necessity of the quality of the emergency communication that depends on the speed. And also the volume, how many information can be transferred to the other point within a limited time, as short of the time. That may be a point, I believe.
Yeah, you're exactly correct, Ryo-san. I think not only the speed, but also the accuracy.
Accuracy is
very important. That in an emergency situation, that things are written down. And if you have trained operators who can do Morse, CW, or transfer voice traffic. Mm-hmm. They can do it, but they can only do it at their own speed, at their own pace.
Right.
And to be trained at that level is in an emergency situation where you need to maybe do 10 different medications.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you an example. At a hospital,
mm-hmm.
you have what's called a crash cart, and you've probably seen it in TV dramas. Oh. Or, you know, they have the defibrillator, they have a bunch of medications, and everything's standard in this crash cart. So a nurse mm-hmm. or a doctor can walk into almost any hospital
mm-hmm.
and know where everything is located.
Oh, I see.
And know, and there's standard medicines and standard equipment in these crash carts.
Mm-hmm.
And if a crash cart is running low on supplies,
mm-hmm.
and that supply has to be delivered or transported,
mm-hmm.
The normal radio operator or government worker
mm-hmm.
may not know what these items are.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. So you have to have somebody, you have to be working with, let's say somebody at a hospital says, I need this.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a checklist on a form, for example, uh-huh. in WinLink, with all the medications already pre-listed,
mm-hmm.
and they say we need this medication, we need this type of equipment, it's very efficient.
Oh, I see. And need this kind of medicine as well, right?
Right.
Uh-huh.
And it could be to an EOC, or it could be hospital to hospital, depending on the situation,
mm-hmm.
Transferring of materials and medications.
But even in the case that the communication made in the verbally, right? It's quite tough.
It is.
To set all the items in the verbally.
Verbally. And it's very tough because each medicine has its own name. It could be a brand name. It could be a generic name. It could, and unless you're a pharmacist
mm-hmm.
or a doctor or perhaps a nurse, you may not have that knowledge to even if somebody said, I need, let's see, well, penicillin, everybody knows penicillin, but
mm-hmm.
Penicillin, I don't know about you. I'm not the greatest speller.
Mm-hmm.
And
quite tough to spell it.
Yeah, these, you know, a lot of these words are, and some of these medications, the names are made up or brand name.
Okay.
So it's if you have a checklist on the computer
mm-hmm.
of the medications that this hospital always uses or what will be needed in an emergency, you can go down and you can say, I need five of these. I need six of these sent to this hospital
okay.
and sent to this person. And in Japan, you know, you have a lot of standard names. You know, you have your Tanakas and Suzuki's.
Right.
Uh-huh. In the U.S., you have so many different
right.
names and long names, short names, and names that maybe people don't pronounce
mm-hmm.
and maybe that they don't see every day. But if you have everything on your laptop ready to go, you can transfer that. And you can also have the person, the non-communication specialist
mm-hmm.
Sitting next to you and say, can you send this message? I need to get this message out. And
and
a ham radio person who is trained
mm-hmm.
and well-trained can do it.
I see. Okay. And I understand that even in the verbal communication we are running, so the most important thing is that how to share the information with a high accuracy and as much as the volume with the highest speed. That may be a point.
It is. And it's also being efficient. And when you're passing traffic, even mm-hmm. if it's voice traffic, in an emergency, or in a disaster or after a disaster,
mm-hmm.
People's adrenaline, people's tensions will be quite high. Fatigue will start to set in. People will get tired.
Oh, I see.
And people, accuracy could suffer because people are tired. And if you're passing traffic for several hours, you might
see.
There could be errors or there could be a gap
mm-hmm.
that happens.
Okay. I understand.
In a verbal traffic.
Right. Okay.
はい、ケビンさんのインタビューはね、まだまだ続きます。
ハムのラジオ。それではここで無線従事者免許のアドバイザー QCQ 企画から耳寄りな情報をお知らせします。はじめにご紹介するのは第1級第2級アマチュア無線技師通信教育講座です。 QCQ 企画の通信教育講座では独自に編集した法規と無線工学それぞれのテキストと問題集をはじめ、様々なサポートで国家試験合格を目指す受験生の皆様のご学習をお助けします。まず問題集を一通り学習できたら、本番さながらの試験問題を体験できる模擬試験問題に挑戦です。模擬試験問題は約3週間に1度のペースで計5回にわたってお送りいたしますので、お忙しい方でも計画的に学習を進められますね。わからない問題があってもご安心ください。インターネットの受験生専用サイトには質問フォームがあり、いつでも何度でも質問することができます。専任の講師が皆様からの質問を一つ一つ丁寧にお答えしますので、ぐっと理解が深まります。無線工学重要公式集や試験に出やすい電波法令集なども掲載しておりますので、ぜひご学習にお役立てください。第1級第2級アマチュア無線技師通信教育講座は8月期の受講生を募集中です。お申し込みは4月末まで。 QCQ 企画の通信教育講座で上級ハムを目指しましょう。気になる方は QCQ で検索。無線従事者資格を取得したいけど一人で勉強するのは不安、そんな方には QCQ 企画の養成課程がおすすめです。まずは養成課程 e ラーニングをご紹介します。養成課程 e ラーニングはインターネット環境とパソコンやタブレットがあればいつでもどこでも学習することができます。講師の講義動画と確認テストで全く知識のない方でも理解が深まりますし、講義動画は繰り返し何度でも視聴することができるので復習も楽々。わからないところは質問フォームからご質問ください。講師が丁寧に回答させていただきます。最後の修了試験はお近くのテストセンターで受けることができます。テストセンターは全国に300カ所以上。パソコンやタブレットでの学習が終わって最短3日後にはテストセンターで修了試験の受験ができるようになるので、学習スタートから試験までサクサク進めます。養成課程 e ラーニングは第4級アマチュア無線技師、第2級第3級陸上特殊無線技師を実施中です。もう一つは養成課程講習会。養成課程講習会は各地で実施中。講師が丁寧にご説明しますので初めての方でも安心です。直接講師に質問ができるし、同じ資格の取得を目指す仲間と一緒に勉強できるのは講習会だけ。教室内の換気や消毒液の設置など感染症対策も講じておりますので、ご安心してご参加ください。養成課程講習会は第3級第4級アマチュア無線技師、第2級第3級陸上特殊無線技師を開催中。開催日程や場所はホームページからいつでもご覧いただけます。 QCQ 企画は無線従事者資格の取得を目指す皆様を様々な形でサポートいたします。お電話でのお問い合わせは東京 03-6825-4949、 東京 03-6825-4949 まで、平日10時から17時の間で受け付けております。以上、きっと人生はもっと楽しい QCQ 企画からのお知らせでした。
83.7 Radio Narita。 はい、ということでね、引き続き、ケビさんへのインタビューをお送りいたします。
And thenIn order to make a communication verbally, I think there should be some training should be performed before emergency situation may happen. Do you have any idea for how often or what kind of training is held in Hawaii?
Sure. Well, in Hawaii, I believe there's at least two yearly, probably statewide, training exercises that everybody gets involved in. When I say everybody, it's each county, state, and amateur radio operators as well. Everybody can practice and do something at.
Mm-hmm.
But on a smaller level, when it comes to amateur radios, getting the amateur radio operators getting training,
mm-hmm.
There is a twice a month WinLink net.
Ooh.
WinLink net. And this is a directed net, just like you would have a directed voice net. But this is a directed net where you usually using UHF or VHF.
Mm-hmm.
HF for HF using NIVS to get some of the more remote locations.
Oh, I see.
Even in Hawaii, small island, but sometimes UHF or VHF because of the mountains won't pass.
Mm-hmm.
There are repeater systems, but they it's best to do training with and without the repeater systems.
Mm-hmm.
And so a net controller will direct the net and call for reports.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have traffic, if you say... during the exercise, you know, everybody has to check in. I'm this station. I have this report. I have this. And so you would, it's a combination of voice and data.
Mm-hmm.
And so that not everybody is sending the same signal at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And, but there has to be trained net operators. Nice. And controllers who know how to do both.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's more than one operator.
Mm-hmm.
It could be two or three operators located on different parts of the island collecting the information and passing the information.
Oh, I see. He can control all the verbal communication as well as the data communication as well.
Correct. And it's usually it would usually be on the same frequency,
uh-huh.
you know, simplex.
I see.
And you would start the net probably verbally,
mm-hmm.
and then you might do verbal check-ins,
mm-hmm.
and then you might also do digital check-ins, mm-hmm. on using WinLink and VARA. Oh,
I see.
And people would pass traffic that way.
Oh, I see.
And in those exercises, there are standard location.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you located? What are your supplies?
Mm-hmm.
Are you running? Do you have power? Are you running on battery power? Are you? How long will it last?
Mm-hmm.
And that information is passed. There's also some exercises where, okay, we're gonna go mobile,
mm-hmm.
and so we're gonna go mobile and we're gonna operate from this location,
uh-huh.
and you try to get out and you do battery power or car power.
Oh, I see.
From mm-hmm. these. Different locations instead of just from your home.
Mm-hmm. So in the case, the special equipment will be prepared for the training?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's equipment that most people already have. It's a laptop.
Uh-huh.
Right now, VARA runs on Windows.
Right.
Windows.
Right.
There's talk about maybe have it run on something else, but right now it's Windows.
Mm.
And WinLink runs on Windows.
Right.
And so if you have a radio and you have a computer,
mm-hmm.
you just need an interface card.
Right.
And there's
right.
some interface cards that work better for VARA, that seem mm-hmm. to work better for VARA
yeah.
than other cards. The one that we built... Ryosan a few months ago was the
right.
It's a DRA36 I
right.
think is the model number that we built together, and those seem to work very well and
right.
very reliable at low cost.
Yeah, we consider that we introduce that system next week.
Oh, excellent. Good.
And then we will precise explanation in Japanese, much more easy to understand the audience anyway.
Good.
And I think that the training would be done verbally and the data communication as well. For the verbal communication, they need some special training for to pass the data or information to the others?
It's always best to have for the data or for verbal.
Verbal.
There are standard scripts, mm-hmm. like you would have a Hollywood movie script or a radio mm-hmm. script mm-hmm. that should be followed, mm-hmm. and that everybody is familiar with it. And so that if you train with that same script and people can respond to the same script, there's consistency. Everybody knows what's expected. If you train for consistency, hopefully during an emergency, that'll show through. Yes. Yeah.
So I'm considering that there's some that template or some form.
Yeah, exactly. There's mm-hmm. forms. Same with the digital modes. Mm-hmm. Within WinLink, there are forms, mm-hmm. and there's national forms, there's county forms, mm-hmm. there's local city forms. Depending on what what the official government organization that you're interfacing with is comfortable with.
Oh, I see.
You can use the national form, or you could use a customized form. Mm-hmm. Specific for that area.
Nice.
But you're right. Everybody has to agree on a standard format for the communication.
I see. So, besides that, if there's some format for the medical treatment form, that may help for the doctors or nursery guys, right?
Yeah. Yes, correct. There's also some standard forms that everybody trains with. The hospital forms for medication or supplies mm-hmm. are probably very standard. Mm-hmm. And hopefully the amateur radio operators are trained with the people who are going to be using that equipment.
Oh, I see. I think that we have to find out the most easiest way to transfer as many data or information with a high accuracy, right?
Correct, yes. Mm-hmm. And that's just going to come from training. Right. People are going to have to create these, mm-hmm. People have created these systems mm-hmm. In the U.S., and there are standard training courses mm-hmm. that people can take. Some of it's online by the federal government mm-hmm. Through FEMA. Some of it is local. Mm-hmm. For example, Red Cross might offer some training too, and also some faith-based mm-hmm. Organizations. When I say it would be like a Christian church or I think it's like Southern Baptists mm-hmm. or Mormons, Salvation Army. They actually have very good mm-hmm. disaster preparedness and emergency communication training and plans implemented.
I see.
はい、ケビンさんのインタビューはね、まだまだ続きます。はい、ということでね、引き続きケビンさんへのインタビューをお聞きください。
So then you were in charge of the emergency communication in Hawaii. So how do you think about the current problem for emergency communication for the ham radios? Any difficulty over some of the problem or...
Yeah, I think it's kind of interesting. It doesn't come down to the equipment. It comes mm-hmm. down to the training mm-hmm. and it comes down to relationships.
I see. Mm-hmm.
So you have to realize that there's somebody in that government position. That's their full-time job. Mm-hmm. Or that it could be just a small part of their job. Mm-hmm. But they're doing that. And amateur radio operators want to volunteer. They want to help. Mm-hmm. That's part of their nature. Mm-hmm. And so I think the challenge is being well-trained mm-hmm. as an amateur radio operator mm-hmm. and also building relationships with local governments for that shows the capabilities mm-hmm. and shows the advantage of having a well-trained communication specialist during a disaster.
I see.
As a backup. And it's kind of interesting. So, and part of the attitude that that I think is if you're volunteering in an emergency situation, there may be a few people already set up and you don't, there's nothing for you to do. You could be the guy who makes the coffee. You could be the guy who gets the water. You could be the guy who makes sure that everybody has a sandwich. Mm-hmm. If you have that attitude, and you're not just there going, oh, I'm the radio guy. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go, I can do this, and I'm willing to help out. I can, or you could be the guy just pointing people where to park.
Oh, I see.
The emergency vehicles. You could take over that role. Mm-hmm. But there has to be an attitude that you're here to help.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most government, well, not only government, I think in the last 30 years probably, you can't just show up with a radio and say, I'm ready to help.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be well-trained.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have relationships. People have to be able to trust you.
Yeah. So my understanding, they need to handle the emergency communication with the ham radio. Neither radio skill and the communication skill and the data management skill and the information transferring skill. We need many skills necessary, right?
Exactly, uh-huh. Ryo-san. I think, and I'll go back to, again, I'll say training. People have to be well-trained and well-managed.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be emergency management training that takes place that you can utilize everybody. Mm-hmm. That maybe you have all these skills, but if there's no management system for you to implement these skills or use your skills, it's kind of a wasted. It could be wasted resource during an emergency.
Yeah. Okay, so the current problem should be, my understanding is that how to educate the ham radio operator to handle the emergency communications. Need more skills, more training, and in order to improve the grading up the communication skills or information accuracies, and also the importance of the how to manage all the systems, not only by the ham radio, including the total system, government system, including the ham radio. That's my understanding. Am I correct? Or
yeah. I mean, there's a whole there are people, and their job, or their business card says emergency manager.
Emergency management coordinator. Good words, right?
Yeah, and especially in communities, coastal communities, California, Florida, Texas, Hawaii, and even in Japan, where you're along the coast, and you could have flooding, you could have tsunamis, you could have hurricanes, you could have typhoons in Japan, and this person's job is they only do emergencies, and they know what's available and what's capable. My understanding, Tokyo has a very good emergency management system, Tokyo's huge, but I think it also. So I think Tokyo, as a state or as a prefecture or a metropolitan area, has its own unique challenges, but each local area will also need to be trained and have trained professionals. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of it. You know, we say amateur radio, but amateur in the sense that it's a hobby, it's a passion.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the radio operators I've met in Japan are very professional. You know, that I've met are very professional and maybe come from a business background or a management background.
Yeah.
And those are the people, I think, that could be involved with the local government during a disaster, and the local governments could work with and comfortably with.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then during the interview, I feel that emergency communication system in the U.S. is much advanced than in Japan, right? So we do learn from the system in the U.S., and we have to consider the Japanese emergency communication system in the future. And I think that this interview is a starting point to consider the future Japanese emergency communications. That is quite helpful to interview to you this time. And we'd better consider the system and the training system as well by the radio program.
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful idea, and I've mentioned it several times, training, that people have to be trained, and because in an emergency situation, you have to, it's not only you know how to use your radio or you know how to use your computer, but you know how to stay cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know how to stay cool, you know how to stay positive, you know how to work as a team.
You
realize if you're trained properly, you'll realize that tensions are going to be high, and then people come down from that high. People react differently. So, and I think I mentioned it earlier, but training and also relationships that
that's true.
You have to be building relationships.
That must be very important, though.
Yeah, because you can have all the knowledge and all the training, but if your local government doesn't know how to use you, or how to or that the ham radio person might want, you know, doesn't realize what the needs are from the local government. So there has to be that kind of interface or that kind of meeting that happens between volunteers and professional emergency managers.
I see. I think that today you get a very good information from Kevin, and now from as a radio program, personality, this must be a starting point to consider Japanese emergency communication, and ask our audience to reconsider that this system will be. Okay, thank you, Kevin. And again, please give me your name or whatever.
Oh, great. Thank you very much. Yes, my name is Kevin Miller. I'm from Honolulu, Hawaii. My Japanese call sign is JJ1PJI. Chotto Nihongo.
ちょっと
日本語でできますで、ケビンと申します。アマチュアコールサイン JJ1PJI、ハワイで生まれ、みんなよろしくお願いいたします。
ありがとうございます。Thank you for joining us today, Kevin. And maybe we have a chance to ask you to be here for the radio. Thank you very much today.
Thank you very much and have a great day.
You too.
ということでケプさんのインタビューをお届けいたしました。いかがでしたでしょうか。はい、
ハワイではやっぱり、はい、だいぶ進んでますね。
やっぱりね、官民の連携がやっぱりしっかりしてるんですよね。
うん、
で最後のセーフティーネットがアマチュア無線だになっているような感覚を受けましたね。
そうですよね。その官民っていうのにもそのとどまらずですね、その艦の中でも例えば軍隊とか消防とか救急とかそこの中での横のつながりのがまずしっかりあるっていうことがまずすごいポイントだと思ったんですよね。でそこの横のつながりのその延長上にこのアマチュア無線コミュニティというのが価値を認められて入れさせてもらってると言いますか、
はい、
一緒に活動してるというような印象を受けましたね。そういう、なんていうんですかね、システムとしての成熟している一つの形態を見たという感じが、
そんな感じがありますね。
しましたですね。
日本のお話も伺いましたけど、日本はやっぱりこうトップダウン的な縦構造が結構感じられたんですが、どうもアメリカのハワイのやつを見てると聞いてると横の広がりの方がなんか大きいように印象として残りましたね。
それで盛んに強調されてたのはやっぱりよく訓練されているということがやっぱり重要
ですね。
ですね。それと何ができるかっていう仕事がこうきっちり明確化しているということね。
そこが大きいんですよね。
大きいですね。
そうですね、うん、
これからアマチュア無線化として考えていくのは、なんかできるよ、何でもできるよじゃなくて、我々はこれができるんだっていうことをしっかりアピールしていくことがもしかしたら 大切なのかもしれませんね。
例えば情報を正確に早くいっぱい伝えられるよなんて言えりゃ、いいのかなと。
そうですね、それも具体的に例えば電子データとしてこういうテンプレートが用意されてるから、それをね、こっち側にすぐ転送することができるよとか、
そうですよね、
うん、例を示してこうやってできますよっていうことがちゃんと伝わってるっていうような感じがしましたね。
そうですね、そうですね、課題が見えました、
はい、これから考えていきましょう、
はい、そうですね。いや、私も一つ思うのはね、はい、まあ、アマチュア無線、ね、非常通信とかで大きな役割を果たすというのは、まあ、国内ではもう別に素人の方もね、うん、アマチュア無線ということを知っておれればそういうことができると分かるんだけども、うん、具体的にどんなことをするのというのがやっぱり曖昧なんですよね。
そうですね、
そういうテンプレートがないんですよね、うんうん、だから例えばまあ、紙英語ぐらいでいいと思うんですよね。だからちっちゃい紙に、こういうことが起こればこういうことを送信するとかね、うん、そういうの一つなんか典型的ななんか、原稿があればね、うん、すぐにそれ使えるんですよね。やっぱり
そうですよね。
やっぱり用意していくというのが、まあ、今のところは各個人個人がね、うん、まあ、そういうのを考えるという感じなんですけど、なんか一つそういうのは欲しいですね。
標準化してほしいです ね。
そうですよね。やっぱりアマチュア無線のなんていうんですかね、アマチュア無線のスキルっていうより以外にもですね、
う
ん、非常に多くのスキルが必要だっていうことを、ね、リオさんもケビンさんもおっしゃってましたけども、うん、まさにその点なんだろうなと、うん、
まあ、いろんな意味のマネジメントですよね。
ですよね、
うん、
まあ、やっぱり、まあ、こういう言い方したら申し訳ないんだけど、まあ、日本の場合どっちか言ったら趣味であるというのが先行しすぎてるんかな、なんかそんな気がしますね。
まあ、それはそこでいいんですけど ね、うん、もうちょっと進んで、うん、貢献するとこも見出せればなと思います ね、
まあ、社会貢献っていうとこまでいくと、うん、やっぱりその趣味だけの観点ではちょっと物足りないんじゃないかなという、
そうですね、とこですよね。
非常に問題提起になったんじゃないかなという感じがしますね、
うんうん、そうですね、まあ、これからやっぱり我々がどう考えていってどう行動していったらいいかというところをね、はい、やっぱりちょっとよく考えていかないかなというのを、
そうですね、う
ん、まあ、改めて認識したという感じですね。
そうですね、
はい、
うん、はい、ありがとうございました。
ありがとうございました。
無線従事者免許のアドバイザー QCQ 企画では、一山二山一陸特を国家試験で目指す方に向けた通信教育講座を行っています。効率よく学習できる教材、定期的な模擬試験とピンポイントな解説で受験生の皆様を強力にバックアップします。一山二山一陸特の国家試験を受験される方、 QCQ 企画の通信教育講座で合格を目指しませんか？詳しくはウェブで QCQ で検索。
さて、改めましてね、ヨタジャパンからの大切なお知らせです。この後4月の10日午後10時からヨタジャパンからお知らせを発表いたします。佐々さんお願いします。
はい、3月1日をもちましてヨタジャパンは一般社団法人になりました。法人化をして一般社団法人ヤングスターズオンジエアジャパン、まあ、略称ヨタジャパンということで法人化をすることになりました。皆様のお力添えのおかげさまでございます。どうも改めまして御礼を申し上げます。一般社団法人、ヨタジャパンということで、まあ、新生ヨタジャパンという感じですけれども、若者の皆様をですね、より活動の中心として、明確化したいと思いまして、会員制と委員会という2つの新しいシステムを設けさせていただきまして、ますます活動の幅を広げていこうと考えております。この後、FM 成田の本放送でお聞きの方は、4月10日のこの後放送すぐ後ですね、午後10時からYouTube のプレミア公開の動画でですね、詳しい内容をお知らせしたいと思いますので、合わせましてぜひご覧いただければと思います。
どうやって検索すればいいですか？
ご案内の動画の URL はヨタジャパンのツイッターで上がっているはずですので、はい、ぜひ、検索をしていただいて、YouTube の動画をご覧ください。
はい、あるいはヨタジャパンでも出てきますかね？
ヨタジャパンの YouTube チャンネルが一応あるので、
はい、
出てくると思います。あとヨタジャパンのウェブサイトにも動画のリンクを貼っておくようにしたいと思います。
はい、わかりました。それで次回ですね、 来週、うん、そのヨタジャパンさんにいろいろ詳しいお話をこの番組でしていただきたいなと、はい、思っておりますので、ね、
よろしくお願いいたします。
よろしくお願いします。
よろしくお願いいたします。はいはい、
まだなんていうんですかね、始まったばっかりで、今日明日ぐらいですね、会員の皆さんも募集し始めるというタイミングですんで、はい、まだまだ手探りで進んでいくかなと思いますけれども、いろいろなビジョンとかね、来週お話できたらいいなと思っております。
はい、
よろしくお願いいたします。
はい、よろしくお願いいたします。ハムのラジオでは皆様からのお便りを募集しております。どうぞお気軽にお便りをお送りください。どんな内容でも大歓迎です。ご意見ご感想お叱り雑談無線以外の話題でもお寄せください。お便りの先はメールの場合 ham@hamsradio.net ham@hamsradio.net こちらの方に、ね、お送りください。またホームページにありますメールフォームからも、ね、お送りいただきますのでそちらの方もご活用ください。はい、今日どうもありがとうございました。今日の相手は JR3QFB39 と
はい、JR2KHB、ヨタジャパン、これからもよろしくお願いします。須田と。
はい、JG1ITH リオと。
はい、JA1WTO 吉原でした。また来週お会いしましょう。
はい、73。
この番組は、きっと人生はもっと楽しい。無線従事者免許のアドバイザー、QCQ 企画の提供でお送りしました。